Our next speaker is Matthew Ramlow. Did I pronounce that correctly?
All right, finally got one right.
And he'll be speaking on biochar's impact on soil nitrogen dynamics and N2O emissions in a deficit irrigation maize system.
Hi, everybody. My name is Matt Ramlow, and I'm a PhD candidate at Colorado State University. And this research was done in partnership with USDA ARS in Fort Collins. So my research is part of the Bioenergy Alliance Network of the Rockies. And this is an interdisciplinary team that is looking at the sustainability of using pine beetle-killed feedstocks for bioenergy production. Specifically, the bioenergy production we're looking at is pyrolysis, and one of the byproducts of pyrolysis is biochar. Biochar is a soil amendment that a lot of people are looking at for various benefits. So we know biochar it has a recalcitrant carbon structure with a condensed aromatic carbon form that is resistant to microbial decomposition, so it can lead to carbon sequestration in soils. We also know that biochar has a porous structure and high surface area, so that allows for nutrient and water retention. It has a high pH, a very alkaline high pH that can produce a liming effect, and there's also been a number of studies looking at how biochar can reduce N2O emissions. Recent meta-analyses show that in lab incubations, biochar has reduced N2O by 54% across studies, whereas in the field we don't quite see these same results of about 7 to 14% in the field, a recent study showed. So we really want to take this out to the field and see, are we still seeing these N2O benefits, and what other nitrogen impacts might biochar have. I'm going to be focusing on a study that we did in deficit irrigation corn. So for those of you who aren't familiar with deficit irrigation, out in Colorado, about 60% of our corn is irrigated, and water conservation is very important. So one strategy for water conservation and increasing water productivity is by potentially limiting water irrigation application during non-essential growth phases or spreading that out across the entire growing season. So here we're looking at the maize growth phases, and we find that around tasseling and into the reproductive phases, maize is most sensitive, especially grain yields are most sensitive to water stress. So we have looked at deficit irrigation strategies that can limit the water application during those earlier vegetative stages. But looking at the nitrogen impacts on that, we know that deficit irrigation is going to impact both nitrogen demand by the crop and supply. So with reduced photosynthetic capacity with water stress, we're going to have less nitrogen demands, but we're also going to have less nitrogen supply into the rooting zone with lower soil moisture levels. So that's one of the interactions that we're really interested in looking at, whether biochar, which is known to increase water content, might also be impacting the nitrogen cycle and nitrogen availability to plants, and particularly in these drier irrigation regimes, how that might impact biochar's ability to reduce N2O. So we have three research questions that we're exploring for the sake of this presentation. We're going to be talking about, does biochar impact soil nitrogen cycling in deficit irrigation systems? And we looked at this by looking at soil, mineral, and availability within the rooting zone, and also plant nitrogen uptake. And then we want to look at the N2O emissions. So in order to look at the N2O, we use both static chambers to look at the spatial variability within our plots and continuous chambers to look at the temporal variability to make sure that we were capturing all the peaks. And we want to see, does biochar reduce N2O in these deficit irrigation treatments, and what are the interactions between the irrigation regime and biochar's impact on N2O? So our study location was out at the Agricultural Development Research Development and Education Center in Fort Collins, Colorado. And this is in a semi-arid environment, where irrigation is often used. These are more calcareous soils, so we wouldn't expect biochar to have much of a pH effect in these soils since we already are around a pH of 8. Our corn system is a strip-tilled system where we banded about 100 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare, and that's a liquid urea-based fertilizer. And then we have these three irrigation regimes that we're using. So the first one is full irrigation, where we're basically giving the crop what it needs. And there were a couple of times that we maybe got a little bit below that, but for the most part, we were able to keep to the recommended irrigation levels. We did the limited irrigation, where we cut off the irrigation water during those vegetative stages, And then for the drought treatment, we did 50% of the irrigation. So we would expect that we're going to have water stress at certain points in the year, and we want to see if biochar is ameliorating that effect. And then we had just two soil amendments. We had a biochar and a control across four replicate blocks. So the biochar that we're using here, I know this isn't a biochar talk, but I'll try to walk you through this real quick. So we used beetle-killed lodgepole pine, and one of the benefits of using woody biochar is that it often retains the pore structure, so we tend to have a lot of those larger macropores, which can help increase the field capacity, other studies have shown. Another thing to point out here is this is 86% carbon, and we have an O-to-C ratio of 0.15. So the O-to-C ratio is really giving us an indication of how condensed that carbon structure is, and this means that it's going to stick around on the millennial time scale. We also see that we have a moderate BET surface area, which, again, can allow for that potential nutrient retention. And the biochar was disc-tilled. We applied it at a rate of 25 megagrams per hectare, and it was disc-tilled to a 10-centimeter depth. So a lot of the soil moisture measurements that I'm showing here are at that 10-centimeter depth, where we're trying to look at that impact of biochar on both field capacity and water retention. So we saw in our study that across these irrigation treatments, biochar increased the field capacity by 7%, and which led to increased soil water content of 9% throughout the growing season. Looking at these irrigation regimes, you can see the blue color is sort of the full irrigation that we have, and in the full treatments, we see various times where biochar is increasing that relative to the control, which is the dotted lines. In the limited irrigation, you see that when we cut off the irrigation during those vegetative stages, we had this drop. And in the drought, we had generally lower levels throughout the growing season. So we are seeing the effects of those irrigation treatments as well. But we could also look at this, since we know that biochar is increasing the porosity of soils. We measured the bulk density, and we were able to calculate the water-filled pore space throughout the growing season. Where here we actually see the opposite effect, because biochar decreased the bulk density from 1.19 to 1.01, which led to this greater pore space. And even though we had higher water content, with the additional pore space, biochar actually lowered the water-filled porosity throughout the growing season. So this is just kind of the backdrop to look at some of the nitrogen effects that we're going to be talking about. For our mineral nitrogen measurements, we were really interested about the mineral N that's available within the soil profile. So we used resin bags to intersect any water moving through the soil profile within that rooting zone. So we buried them at a 25-centimeter depth, and then we extracted them with KCl. So looking at the impacts of on soil mineral nitrogen availability, we see that in these 3 months, so we deployed them for 3 weeks, in the months of June, July, and August, and we see that biochar didn't have effect on ammonium or nitrate concentrations over that entire period. But we do see that there is this effect of irrigation, especially if you look in the June on the nitrate concentration. And we think that this is mostly, again, so these resin bags are going to be sensitive to both the mineral nitrogen concentration in the soil, but also to that water availability. So in those drought treatments where we don't have as much soil moisture, that's likely why we're not seeing as much of the mineral nitrogen in there. But the main takeaway from this is that biochar isn't impacting the mineral nitrogen available to the plants within the soil profile. And this aligns really well with a recent lab incubation that we published in GCB Bioenergy, where we were, again, kind of looking at this question of how does biochar impact soil nitrogen and N2O emissions. And here we can see, I don't know if you have a pointer.
There should be one right there, yeah.
Okay. So here we have our unfertilized treatments. And if we look here, we didn't see any ammonium buildup, but we saw that nitrate. So we interpret this as you had mineralization of the soil organic matter across these four different agricultural soils and subsequent nitrification, where we're building up the nitrate concentrations. And we didn't see any difference between the control and the biochar-treated plots. Then when we fertilized it with an ammonium fertilizer, we see that very rapidly in this aerobic incubation that we did. You see that ammonia getting taken up either through nitrification or through immobilization. And then, we see that increase in nitrate. But again, across our four different agricultural soils, we saw no difference between biochar and the control. So this is indicating to us that biochar is not necessarily impacting the mineral nitrogen availability across these transformation processes. Looking at the grain nitrogen uptake, so that's going to be a function of both our grain yield and then the grain nitrogen content. And we saw that in the drought treatments, we had decreased yield. Obviously, you're applying less and they have more water stress, so you're going to have lower yields. And again, we didn't see any significant impact of biochar across on yield or on the N content. When you combine these together, while we did see those reduced yields for the drought treatment, they actually also had that higher nitrogen content. So we actually don't really see any difference any significant difference in the grain and uptake, especially with the biochar amendments. So again, biochar isn't necessarily impacting nitrogen cycling and nitrogen availability to our crops. But now let's get into the N2O. So I said before, we were both interested in capturing the spatial variability across the field and the temporal variability. So for our spatial measurements, we use static chambers. We use rectangular chambers that were placed between the row, in the rows and between the rows to integrate over that area to give us a better idea, as we've done in other studies. And we see here that when we applied our fertilizer here in mid-May, we have about a three-week lag before we saw those peak emissions. And we didn't do any side dressing on this plot. So we see most of that N2O coming in that period right afterwards. And you can see that we have quite a bit of variability within our field, which was a challenge. And we see slightly reduced fluxes in the limited and the drought irrigation treatments. Looking to make sure that we captured all of the temporal variability, we used these automatic chambers. Here we were only able to put one automatic chamber per plot, but this really helped us be confident in our spatial measurements to show that we captured that major peak and we didn't have any subsequent peaks later in the season. So looking at the cumulative N2O emissions in the field, we did see that biochar decreased the N2O emissions and to a level that was similar to a lot of these other studies, so across irrigation by 16%. But the most pronounced one was in the full irrigation, where we had roughly a 30% decrease by the, caused by biochar, whereas the other ones we saw much reduced impact. But I think the biggest thing is we had all this spatial variability, which makes us hard to have a lot of confidence in these reductions. So you can see that the variability was very high and we did not have a significant effect. However, these are pretty low N2O emission factors that we're dealing with out here in this very dry system. So if we look at the control soils, we had an emission factor of 0.43, which is well below that IPCC default level. So that also might be impacting our ability to sort of quantify this difference and to really say that biochar is having a decreased effect in these lower N2O emitting soils. And finally, I just wanted to show here another thing. Looking at that water-filled pore space, we see this really interesting correlation coming up where we know that water-filled pore space is a big predictor of N2O, and we expect most N2O to be produced in these kind of moderate areas. In the lower water-filled pore space, we have mostly coming from nitrification, whereas in the higher water-filled pore space from denitrification. And we can see that within our study, most of the water-filled pore space was all within this nitrification range. So we're pretty sure that most of the N2O is being produced through nitrification. And biochar also kind of has this shift where, again, because we're reducing that water-filled pore space, we're potentially moving it into these area, more aerobic zones that is reducing the N2O produced. But again, since this is mostly through nitrification, that might not necessarily be leading to these reductions, and there could be other impacts or mechanisms that are causing the reductions, potentially things like the diffusion of the N2O and adhering to the biochar surfaces. So with that, we didn't impact soil nitrogen cycling. We did see that there were reductions, but they were not significant. And irrigation regime did seem to impact biochar's emission reductions with the greatest potential in these fully irrigated sites, whereas not so much in the drier. So with that, I just want to take some time to acknowledge my funding from the NEFA project, and also a very special thanks to my colleague Erica Foster, who helped set up this study. They were looking at other water conservation treatments through a conservation innovation grant out at RDEC. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Yeah, maybe just one quick one.
Clarify your nitrogen source, and just your
Yeah, it's a liquid urea that we used. Mm-hmm. Why was that? That's what they use commonly at the field, our research station.